You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Chesa Boudin is not the first San Francisco district attorney to push for criminal justice reform. Past DAs have done some pretty progressive things, too, like embracing cannabis before it was legal, rebuking the death penalty, and introducing algorithms to combat racial biases. And yet, each top prosecutor's record is complicated. In this next installment of The Progressive Prosecutor, we'll take a look at how we got here through the lens of three previous San Francisco DAs and the people who worked for them. KALW's Holly J. McDeed reports.
Courtney Burris works for Chesa Boudin now, but they met on different sides of the aisle years ago when she was working for District Attorney George Gascon.
We were in misdemeanors together. Like, he was a misdemeanor public defender, I was a misdemeanor DA, and we were always in the same courtroom together.
Burris is the daughter of John Burris, a prominent civil rights lawyer known for taking on police brutality cases, including the beating of Rodney King. And Boudin comes from a family of lawyers and criminal justice reform advocates.
But we just come from that stock of being raised in an environment of knowing the impact that you can have on your platform, you know, if you go out there and you use your voice and you use your talent and your advocacy.
Some experts say prosecutors are the people in the courtroom with the most power.
You are looking out for the vulnerable and the community as a whole, but at the same time, we are the decision makers. We are the ones who have the discretion to charge, the discretion to ask for a certain sentence, the discretion to give mercy where they might not otherwise be afforded.
Burris considers herself the beneficiary of a movement of nationwide progressive prosecutors.
For me, I was seeing the void in advocating for Black and brown victims. And also, as a Black person, understanding the inequities that people who are charged with crime face as well.
Boudin, too, has talked about how the justice system fails victims as well as people accused of crimes.
Most victims want the people who've harmed them to never do it again to anybody else. That's an important thing for most crime victims. And our system right now actually makes it more likely that people will commit crimes in the future.
In San Francisco, the idea that punishment can make things worse isn't exactly new, and neither are critics who say the city's prosecutors are too lenient. You can trace some of that debate to another controversial former defense attorney turned prosecutor, Terrence Hallinan.
What kind of society can deny to its citizens such relief from their pain and suffering?
At the Millennium Medical Marijuana March in Washington, D.C. in 2000, Hallinan stood at the podium wearing a suit and a baseball cap. He was a gray-haired man with a temper. He did not necessarily sound like your typical law enforcement official.
Let us reschedule marijuana and make this herb available to anyone who can benefit for its wonderful, miraculous medical properties. Thank you.
Terrence Hallinan and Chesa Boudin have a lot in common. The justice system impacted both of them personally, and they have both fought to change it. Both had family members who were lawyers and parents who were activists and eventually incarcerated. Hallinan's dad went to jail for contempt of court while representing union leader Harry Bridges during the Red Scare. Brendan is Hallinan's son, and he says Hallinan trained to box so he'd learn how to fight back against critics.
And I think he was taught by his father that if you're going to stand up for what you believe is right, you know, you better be ready to take some heat because it's not always going to be popular.
But Boudin and Hallinan were also very different. Boudin enrolled in Yale after high school. When Hallinan was 18, he pled guilty to assaulting the owner of a ski lodge. And Brendan says that was a pivotal moment in his dad's life and the kind of DA he would become.
He always tells me he had a Marin County judge that gave him his last chance and said, okay, this is your last chance, Hallinan. You're going to go to San Francisco. You're going to get out of Marin County for a year. You're going to enroll in college. This court's going to maintain jurisdiction over you. You're going to come back in a year. If you haven't graduated high school and aren't on your way to college, you're going to jail. If you have, then we'll go ahead and dismiss these charges against you because you've shown that you've been reformed. And he remembered that his whole life.
Hallinan became a defense lawyer, and then in 1996, the district attorney of San Francisco.
I gave people who had drug cases a break. I gave them a second chance, I gave them a third chance, I gave them a fourth chance.
He vowed to push back against the war on drugs and three-strike laws, but there was a lot of resistance. Fred Gardner, Hallinan's press secretary while he was DA, says some political leaders were not happy he won.
Imagine the power as a cop. Imagine the power that you had when you could stop anyone on suspicion of marijuana. What a tool in your toolkit.
Gardner remembers a t-shirt worn by an off-duty cop.
He had written on it, "Hallinan is a commie sucker."
Hallinan's fraught relationship with cops was not just because of his stance on crime and cannabis. He also indicted the police command staff in what became known as Fajita Gate. This was in 2002, after off-duty cops violently beat two men after an argument about giving up their fajitas. Hallinan indicted the command officers over allegations of covering it up. The charges were ultimately dropped, but Hallinan's relationship with police was beyond repair. Progressive activists also accused him of not doing enough to hold police accountable. Hallinan's son Brendan remember seeing him in the living room with his files, deciding whether or not to charge a police officer who had shot and killed a 17-year-old girl, Sheila DeToy.
And he felt that, you know, he's this cop, he's just like a ticking time bomb, but I don't think I can charge him. I don't think the law supports me charging him. You know, he was very torn because he thought that the shooting was wrongful.
Activist Van Jones, now in anger with CNN, marched to Hallinan's house to demand justice. Hallinan's son remembers him coming out to address him.
He tried to explain to the best of his ability why he had to make the decision he had to make and why he couldn't have gone the other way and how he felt as a parent and as a person about what had happened. The compassion, and it was hard on him.
Then, in 2003, an upstart young prosecutor ran against him as more of a law and order candidate.
The race for San Francisco District Attorney is down to two candidates, the incumbent Terrence Hallinan and challenger Kamala Harris, and we'll go right to Kamala Harris.
Let's be clear, I'm not running for public defender.
That's from a debate from Harris and Hallinan on KQED's forum in 2003.
There are a lot of victims of crime out here in the city who deserve to have a district attorney's office that puts the politics in the trash can and instead deals with the reality, which is that there should be consequences when young men and women are being killed in the Bayview. There should be consequences for the fact that we have women who are being raped, we have children who are being molested, and those cases aren't being prosecuted.
During the campaign, Harris accused Hallinan of failing to keep communities safe from dangerous criminals. Hallinan had burned a lot of bridges as DA, and he was vulnerable, so it wasn't all that surprising when he lost. Harris was sworn in by Senator Dianne Feinstein in 2004.
During such time as I hold the office of District Attorney of the City and County of San Francisco.
During such time as I hold the office of District Attorney for the City and County of San Francisco.
Congratulations.
Nancy Tung joined the prosecutor's office while Harris was DA.
And I think that she brought a prosecutor's point of view to an office whose main job is to prosecute. But in doing so, too, she also brought a history with her about being a woman in a profession where, you know, you're also a minority.
If you look at her record as DA, you can find examples where Harris is both progressive and punitive. Her Back on Track program allowed first-time offenders to get high school diplomas and jobs instead of prison time.
And several of the initiatives in her first term really focused on making sure that recidivism was not something that we ignored, that we attacked the problem as prosecutors and gave second chances, in a way, to people who are just entering into the criminal justice system.
A truancy program that Harris had pushed for got a lot of attention when she ran for president. It allowed district attorneys to charge parents if their children missed school without a valid reason.
And I believe a child going without an education is tantamount to a crime. So I decided I was going to start prosecuting parents for truancy. Well, this was a little controversial in San Francisco.
Public defender Carmen Aguirre says you can't separate Harris's approach from the time she operated in. Like Hallinan, Harris would likely be judged by the number of people her office convicted.
The district attorney's office is navigating the politics of the community of San Francisco with the politics of law enforcement and the politics of fear that are perpetrated.
But when Aguirre thinks about Harris's time as DA, she thinks about her own clients. Many of them were given lengthy sentences instead of treatment.
I was moved by hearing Kamala say that, you know, like she was very much a product of the times. It didn't erase my hurt and pain for clients that, you know, were sentenced to state prison, deported, lost their lives, lost their homes to convictions that didn't have to be treated that way because they didn't require that level of punishment.
In 2011, Harris became the state attorney general, and then Mayor Gavin Newsom appointed George Gascon to her seat. Unlike Harris, Gascon had never prosecuted a case, but he did impress Newsom as police chief.
After 30 years in law enforcement, I have seen people who are extremely dangerous, but many more who are misguided. We can no longer afford to lock up the addicted or the mentally ill in the name of safety.
The year he was appointed, the Supreme Court had ruled that California's prisons were so overcrowded they violated the country's ban on unusual punishment.
I will not measure my success by the number of faces behind bars.
Correction officials were ordered to reduce the prison population. In 2014, Gascon co-authored Prop 47, a California ballot initiative that reclassified simple drug possession and minor theft crimes from felonies to misdemeanors.
I feel like Gascon started to think about things more and try to think about how to be fairer. I don't know whether that's because he was a quote-unquote better district attorney or whether it was that the community was more open to initiating changes at that level at the time when he was district attorney.
This was around the time Courtney Burris was hired as a prosecutor by George Gascon. She remembers how polarizing Prop 47 was in her office.
Because you had old school DAs who come from the train of thought of, you know, to do the crime, to do the time.
Burris says a lot of people left the office. She stayed, but she had to shift too. This country has relied on using money bail to determine whether defendants could get out of jail since its founding. Gascon called that system inherently unfair and archaic. Burris says she had to take time to shift her own thinking about money bail.
It's like, okay, well, you could keep things the same and keep using bail. And yes, it will be easier to keep dangerous offenders off the street. But the inequitable effect of that, to me, outweighs it because there are other ways that we can be addressing that danger, potentially, while still thinking of fairness.
At this point, Chase Boudin was a public defender, and he was fighting to end cash bail. When Boudin won the district attorney's race, Burr says it followed the trajectory of where San Francisco's criminal justice system was headed.
George was the battering ram, and Chase is like the bulldozer, just like taking it to the next level.
Beyond bail reform, Boudin has proposed changes in the justice system that have not been tried before in the city, and now he's part of a bigger movement of so-called progressive prosecutors. Burris supports these efforts, but says all DAs need to be willing to pivot if their strategies are not working.
But I also think it's important that the administration and future administrations listen to the community response, and also pays attention to the trends. If there is evidence to the contrary, that, you know, then it may be the case that the administration may have to shift.
Of course, one development Chase Boudin could not have anticipated was a global pandemic. That would affect all the trends and the data in the criminal justice system and the entire calculus around what it means to be safe. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly J. McDeed.
That piece was co-reported by Alice Wolfley with help from Christopher Agusa. You can find our series, The Progressive Prosecutor, at kalw.org.